Welcome into Morning Invest on this Monday, December 6th. We have got a very busy show for you. We're going to talk about a potential war with Russia as the Russian troops have been amassing along the Ukraine border. And the United States is really in a rock and a hard place here. They have two choices. We'll go through those two choices today on the show.
Plus, inflation continues to blow out, I guess we'll call it.
Like your hair?
I did do a blowout today. Thank you for noticing. And why is that good for politicians and big business leaders, but not good for you? We're going to break that down.
And we're going to talk about CNN holding on to Chris Cuomo until the last possible second. What they knew, what they were keeping to themselves, and what finally was the straw that broke the camel's back. All of that and more as we get uncomfortable on this Monday morning. And Morning Invest starts right now.
All right, everybody, we hope you've prepared, done your reading for the day by reading morninginvest.com. If you haven't, you can subscribe and read up later. This is where we tell you what we're going to talk about in the show, what's going on, and then now we're here. Everyone's done their reading. It's not required reading. Your presence, though, is required. We're glad you're here because there's a war raging. And we want to talk about what that all means. So the president of the United States, President Biden, is saying that he will not accept any red lines from Russia as Russia continues to move troops towards the border of the Ukraine and say we are not going to stand for NATO creeping closer to Russian borders. That means Ukraine, NATO, do not join up. We won't stand for it. Western forces are saying you don't get to say that. And now we're in sort of a cold war. The Biden administration is saying that it does want to have talks with Russia. So we'll see what that means. And NATO allies have sort of shown their support as well for the Ukraine. Although it's interesting because a lot of them are saying we want everybody to be able to join NATO. But privately, they're saying we're not really sure if we want the Ukraine, but we want the freedom to choose the Ukraine. So what's going on there, Clayton?
Well, I mean, and the Ukraine right now is basically saying, hey, we want you, United States, to go around NATO. Like, we know that you have these rules, all these rules. So instead of following the rules, how about the U.S. and Canada and Britain? Why don't you guys send hundreds of thousands of troops to our border to protect us against this imminent invasion? All eyes are pointing to the idea that this is going to happen within the next few weeks, that Russia will, in fact, move towards invading the Ukraine. Right now, 175,000 troops have popped up all around this region. And so Ukraine is saying, okay, U.S., Canada, Britain, why don't you guys just ignore NATO and come and stick your troops along the Kiev border just to protect us right now because we are about to be invaded?
Well, you know what? How hypocritical of us to tell other countries what to do, first of all. And second of all, why should we spend that's our money. Like, I'm sorry for the people of Ukraine, but why should we risk our troops' lives to protect them? I mean, that's none of our business.
Because we are a force for good, David. We are a democratic force for good, and it's our duty. If you don't agree with us, we will bomb the heck out of you.
Well, the argument goes,
shove democracy up your ass. That's
yes,
what we will do.
So NATO is an organization to promote democracy, right? And so
they say.
Right.
Yeah,
so I mean, we can debate that for sure, but this is what this is what they're telling us. And then we can debate which parts of it we don't believe, but that any country that wants to join the democratized forces of NATO and these treaties and that kind of idealistic life can join. But Putin does not want anything to do with NATO, and he also does not want his neighbors joining NATO. And so what he said that, let me find the quote here.
Well, why you find that quote?
He's saying that he's willing to take adequate military and technical measures to respond to growing NATO activity in and around the Russian border. He's warned that if missiles were deployed in Ukraine that could reach Moscow, that Moscow would respond in kind. Now, Western officials don't even have an agreement on whether or not they want Ukraine. Again, they just want the freedom to invite anyone they want. Why? Why wouldn't Western officials agree on the Ukraine? Because they don't know if it's worth it. And you might remember the whole Russian Ukrainian investigation, which led to impeachment of President Trump in the House of Representatives only, was whether or not he asked the Ukrainian president for political favors in exchange for aid that was being sent to the Ukraine. Eventually, that aid did come. It revolved around that phone call, right? The phone call, let's throw that out for now because we're not debating that. But at the time, we knew that this brought to light to all of us that we continue to send aid to the Ukraine and we do on a regular basis. So we knew at least that part because of that, right?
Right. And now there's a couple of options on the table. And I think it, like Caitlin Johnston, who I'm a big fan of, she said this morning, she said, you know, it's amazing to watch the Western media sort of ignore this story. So RT.com paints it this way. Ukraine wants US, UK, and Canada to bypass NATO and bring these troops here, which would literally be, I mean, the 175,000 troops that are there, the Canadian and British forces, that's double. That is more than they have. They want them to bring that many troops to the Ukrainian border to protect Ukraine against Russia. That would be more troops than Canada and the United Kingdom have combined in this to deploy troops in the Ukrainian border.
And recall, the president gave our military a 20% raise this year, so we have the money it's burning a hole in our pocket.
Yeah, I guess
we gotta go somewhere.
They don't have natural resources. Otherwise, we'd go there. We'd bypass NATO without them even asking if they had natural resources we wanted.
But Russia does. And so we've been warned that Russia holds the pipeline to natural fossil fuels that will heat Europe this winter, and that's going to get a little bit intense because Russia has been holding up those resources. So that's another reason that NATO forces are not really sure that they want this fight. Are you willing to fight over someone? Like, how much do we care? I'm not saying this, right? But the company line. How much do we care about the Ukraine?
Brian McDonald on Twitter writes, apart from being militarily pointless, unless Putin is bluffing about red lines, such a move would trigger a major Russian attack on Ukraine. The US, UK, and Canada would then have two options as he sees it. A, a war with Russia, which would likely turn nuclear. B, retreat and back down. Two options, and he lays it out further by saying, also worth mentioning that the alleged size of the present Russian troop buildup near Ukraine is larger than the entire British and Canadian armies put together. And these come from U.S. intelligence sources. So are we to believe these Russian and these U.S. intelligence sources who said, according to this unclassified U.S. document that was just released by the Washington Post got their hands on, includes these satellite photos showing Russian forces massing in four locations. 50 battlefield tactical troops are deployed, along with newly arrived tanks and artillery, according to the document.
Well, I don't know whether to believe that.
Like, when we look at these are obtained from U.S. military agencies through the Washington Post. Is that a newly deployed?
How in the heck are we retrieving those? We can't fly over Russia.
Right.
Satellites?
Are we getting satellite data, satellite imagery that we're getting from U.S. intelligence satellites that show this massing of troops along the border? So President Biden is going to have this summit to have these discussions with Russia. But again, you know, what does the U.S. do here? I mean, it literally has two choices, as Brian McDonald lays out. I think he's absolutely right about that. Two choices: war with Russia, which would likely turn nuclear, or a retreat and a back down. And if you read The Economist a few weeks ago, they did a whole pretty deep dive on Russia and the further and further move towards autocracy and away from democracy, and the rise of Putin's Russia once again to make sure that any disparate voices, any dissenting voices, are squashed, put in prison, locked up, state-run media. We're back to this again. And it's
so what do you think the Biden administration means when they are threatening what they're calling sanctions from hell? Because it's usually not products that they sanction. It's usually people. Right.
Right. And end up getting hurt the most.
It's medicine. I mean, what they basically do is you any ally of ours can't trade, can't send anything. They'd have to, like, that would affect what we're talking about with the oil and stuff that's for the UK. It would affect that, too, because they wouldn't be able to take
that oil. For instance, when the United States put sanctions on China over the Uyghurs recently, it was around people. We didn't do anything because that would have hurt us too much to put actually sanctions on Chinese products. The whole United States would screech to a halt and starve in 5 seconds flat, right? So instead, we sanctioned the people. So we don't sanction against our own interests. So again, what does that mean? Sanctions from hell, right? And yeah, it's a good question. Like, what is it that we're dependent upon?
Well, I mean, what is the U.S. to do here? I mean, and you know, if they do invade Ukraine, to take they do not want a NATO. They do not want NATO on their border. They don't. I mean, they see this as a huge buildup of an enemy right on their border. To have a NATO country now right there, that's a huge threat to Russia. So they see, and so they believe. So what? They're going to amass these troops there, and then we now enter a new Cold War where we end up sending thousands of troops to Ukraine and get involved in a back and forth between what we saw in North and South Korea.
So the question is, since you read The Economist, mm-hmm. How did this start? If NATO doesn't even really want the Ukraine, they're not really sure. Was it a rumor that made Putin uncomfortable? And now we might actually have nuclear war?
I mean, this whole push towards NATO in this region has been happening for a while. Like this,
yes.
You know, and this has been bluster in many ways by NATO countries to say, look, what you guys have done in the Ukraine before, what you guys have done in the Crimea is we're not going to stand for it again. And we are going to show you by way of adding a member country to NATO that we are serious about this. You're not going to pull a Crimea. You're not going to start invading Georgia and other countries that have left the former Soviet Union and now are thriving democracies or actually doing pretty well. Georgia, for instance, is doing really well to attract business interests from around the world. So it's the Georgia, the country, not Georgia, the state, of course. So again, as they say in this press release, together, and this is what the Ukrainian officials are saying, speaking to the Globe and the Mail on Sunday, the Anglo-Saxon allies to provide assistance to the Ukraine outside of NATO structures, including sending more military trainers to the country. So the Ukraine wants the United States, Canada, and Britain to show a force in this region and also send military training to this region.
So it's like we're dealing with inflation here. We've got a homeless crisis. We've got a food shortage crisis. I mean, we have all these crises here, and yet we're still worried about I just don't understand how we think that we can just endlessly fund policing the world. It is not our business. Like, we need to just let what happens over there happen. We need to get, like, if we would just close all the bases and bring all those soldiers home, bring that money back home, it would stimulate our economy.
Tremendously.
Absolutely true. And the New York Times points out that the Ukrainian military is actually more trained than you think, maybe due in part to the fact that of the continued support from the West. We have been sending funds there for a long time, and weaponry, in fact.
Yeah, we've been doing military training in that region for a long time. In fact, as the RT points out, in recent times, Washington and its NATO allies have increased military activity in the area, including in the Black Sea. This has been cause for concern for Moscow, which has repeatedly opposed foreign military presence in this region. And last week, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov told journalists that the bloc has been encouraging unplanned drills in the immediate proximity of Russian borders. So can we believe then? I mean, I think RT's reporting is spot on here. Is it just that Russia is scared about NATO, or has NATO already been stirring the hornet's nest by all sorts of military exercises in this region? You know, when you want to whack the hornet's nest, you're going to get bit.
So right? Whose interest is this then? In whose interest is a war? I mean, besides
the military
budget, yes. So,
I mean, again, the military industrial complex and protecting energy interests. I mean, it's just follow the money. It's what it always comes down to, right, guys? It's not about religion this time. You know, it's not the Crusades. It's about military industrial complex and money. And so when you follow the money and you look at oil interests, I mean, look at what we're dealing with the United States with increased oil prices. Right, because of what OPEC and Russia doing right now. So, we want to protect Ukraine because of oil interests. I mean, it's Kuwait all over again, guys. Wake up!
But why in the world would we should? There are two countries we should not really piss off, and that's China and Russia. I mean, we should be very careful not to do that.
Well, will we see a moment? I mean, you know, is this like a Canadian or a Canadian missile crisis, Cuban missile crisis all over again? You know, when we hear the satellite images, you know, is this what Khrushchev is doing in Cuba? Okay, well, now is Putin doing this inside, right outside of Ukraine? We need to call in our international partners right now. Germany, though, says we're not getting involved. France says we're not getting involved. You guys want to stir the hornet's nest, go right ahead, but we're staying out of this. So we don't have a lot of European allies who are ready to jump on this. But there you go, 150,000 troops amassing at the border near Ukraine with artillery equipment, personnel movements, and experts pointing to an invasion either by Christmas or just after the new year.
Again, I point out that the Biden administration asked for a 20% raise in the budget this year when we were supposed to be at peace. So, okay.
They got to use those missiles somewhere.
You know, that's what happens when you save for something, you go and buy it.
Entrepreneur King in our chat says, Clayton, is it safe for the average American to travel to Russia in a time of hostility? I mean, you take your own lives in your hand when that's the thing. You should contact the U.S. State Department. You can go to the U.S. State Department website, and when you register foreign travel on that website, they'll tell you about countries that they are saying, hey,
yes,
you might not want to go there right now.
Yes, you should always register foreign travel on the State Department so that the State Department knows where their citizens are going so that they can protect you.
I mean, the thing is, like, you never know. Like, even if you would have gone to Germany recently and been like, hey, we're going to Germany, nothing going on there. And then all of a sudden, boom, now they're dividing vaccinated and unvaccinated. So you could walk in, like, you guys went to Austria, and like, what? It was already preparing by the time you were there.
Lockdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in a new world right now, guys. I mean, we are in a different world where you have major countries, top tier countries that are doing travel restrictions in unheard of, even worse than wartime restrictions. Yeah. So we're in a new era. We're in a new world right now. If you feel like traveling to Russia, maybe you want to wait on that. I don't know. Maybe not.
I mean,
the best
you
time.
Should remember that even if you register your travel with the State Department, you can go to the consulate in case of an emergency and you can arrange transport out of the country. But it's still mostly on your dime, unless there is like literally no planes leaving, you know, and the U.S. has to charter a plane to get out for some reason. But for the most part, you pay for it. So when the State Department says do not travel, you should listen to them, because this is the country that you're a member of, that is that you have a social contract where they protect you if you're in danger. But you still have to do it. It's not as easy as like, oh, get me out of here on a private plane because there's a volcano. It's not like that.
It's one of the few benefits you get as being of a U.S. being a U.S. citizen, is that they will like go into a war zone and get you out.
Yeah.
So that is one benefit, but you won't get health care or quality education or all of that other stuff. But they will go into a war zone happily to get you out.
Yes.
It's one of the social contracts. All right. We've got more news to get to on the show. We're going to talk about inflation and what it's doing to crush the poor and middle class in the United States. Inflation's big secret. And we're going to talk about CNN and Cuomo in a minute. But first, I want to tell you about our show sponsor today, our friends over at Blue Chew. Because, guys, right now with Blue Chew, men everywhere are excited to see the postman this holiday season. Because when your package has arrived, that means your package has arrived. Always say first impressions are important. And what about lasting impressions? It's time to get off the couch and get back to work, guys. It's your tool. If your tool needs an upgrade, head to BlueChew.com.
I have heard that before, that our impressions don't last long enough.
Exactly. Well, here you go. Here, if you could benefit from a little extra confidence and impressions when it's time to perform, Blue Chew can help you, David. And we've got a special deal for our listeners right now. You can try Blue Chew free when you use your promo code INVEST at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code INVEST, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. Because, you know, this company's amazing. The process is simple. You can sign up at Blue Chew. You can consult with one of their licensed medical providers. And once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. It's unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead and or be ready whenever the opportunity arises. We've got a special deal for our listeners. You can try it for free when you use our promo code INVEST at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code INVEST, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring our show. Merry Christmas under the mistletoe.
Cynthia Ann in the chat says that you might do a little better with the lady if you had a goatee.
A goatee. Should I
instead
do the goatee?
Instead of the beard?
What do you think?
No, I think you could pull that off.
You don't think I could pull that off?
I like the full
I think
beard.
You should go beard or Van Dyke, but not
What's
goatee.
What's a Van Dyke? What's
or
a Van Dyke?
That's
Fu
where
Manchu.
You do just the mustache and then the soul patch.
Oh, like
no.
this down and then just a patch
That's
here?
A Fu Manchu. No.
Is that a Fu Manchu?
Down is
no,
a Fu Manchu.
A Van Dyke would be this and then this.
Wait, you're frozen. Okay, do it again.
So the mustache and then this.
Nope.
No. Natalie put the kibosh on that.
You would look sinister.
What do you think, though? I mean, what do you think? Just straight up goatee?
No.
No?
I don't know why. I don't love the idea of that.
What about like the Tony Stark? With like the line and goatee?
Don't like it.
No?
Not for me.
I think if you do the goatee, you need to do a mullet, too.
But the full mountain look, it's very natural on Clayton. I've
been watching Yellowstone, and one of the older cowboys, he's like in his 60s or whatever, he has this like heavy, like Yosemite Sam mustache down.
Yeah.
That
is a Fu Manchu, I think.
I guess. I don't know. I don't think he would call it that. He'd be like, there's no Fu Manchu.
We had my pediatrician when I was growing up had a Fu Manchu, and he was like the only handsome man to have that. So, but otherwise, I don't know. I don't know that I've ever seen that and been like, yeah, that's a good look. I'm not
sure.
Sean
Connery could pull it off.
All right. Let's talk about inflation because it continues to rage out of control. David made the point earlier that when gas prices went up, the government said that gas prices would come down because we were releasing some emergency stores. That so far has yet to happen. And, you know, the way the media is spinning it as if like it's this crisis, it needs some sort of emergency intervention, we need more stimulus, right? But it's important that we all sort of take a step back and say, who is this really hurting? Because the middle class, the chat room always laughs when I use that term because it's pretty much disappearing. But anyone middle class or above is not really being harmed by slightly more expensive eggs, right? It's the lower socioeconomic status that is hurting. But it does seem like a great way for the government to promote its own interests by ways of out of control spending and low interest rates, right? Go ahead, Clayton.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, the Daily Poster did a really interesting look and deep dive at this. And David Sirota over at the team over at the Daily Poster, you talk about great independent journalists. I think they do a great job. And he laid out exactly six things that they're not telling you about inflation, right? And I love this. Of course, they use the CNN, the average family video where they did the interview with the family that has 11 kids or whatever. Like, we sat down with an average family. No one has 11 kids. No one does. Anyway, breaks down that corporate media isn't reporting the full story. And when they talk about just like rising prices, that's just a fraction of what really is hurting the average American. And what they're also not telling you, the corporate media is ignoring, is that corporations and CEOs' profits have skyrocketed. So they're not telling you that side of it, that the reason that they're doing fine is because their salaries have increased tremendously. The corporate profits have been off the charts.
But so has the balance sheet for the federal, for the Fed, right?
Right.
And so the Fed has been, what they're saying is like doing this, buying up, what they call it, quantitative easing, right?
Right.
They're buying up funds in order to help the economy. But what we don't really know or what we don't really see is what's in those funds that they're buying, right? Recent reports are that the Fed actually hired BlackRock to buy into exchange-traded funds that they own, right? So they're BlackRock managed ETFs that now BlackRock manages the government buying their own funds. And what's in those funds? Home Depot, Walmart, right? So
Wait, say this again.
Just let me finish this point.
I know, but this is such an important point that I don't want people to miss this, because if we talk about on the show, it's easy to throw around this idea, the Fed, a bunch of criminals.
Right.
The banks are all in cahoots with these guys. It's a drug cartel. And when we say that, it sounds like a fun kind of clickbait talking point. But when you actually look at the structure of how the Fed operates, it's 100% accurate. That is exactly how the Fed operates. It acts as a cartel.
So the Fed is pretending that it's buying up these junk bonds or like struggling companies, right? But they're doing that by way of exchange-traded funds. And what's in those exchange-traded funds is not really a struggling company. They may be some zombie companies, which is another thing. Put that in your pocket. But inside these funds are stocks like Microsoft, Home Depot,
Apple,
Walmart, Apple, right? So while small businesses are struggling, the Fed is buying up businesses that are not, right? And by these journal entries, inflating what the Fed has so that they can continue to lend and bring more money in. So inflation is actually quite good for them because it gives them the excuse to make these sort of cronyous moves. It gives them the excuse to keep interest rates low, which then also inflates the federal budget. And the resulting, the sort of natural economic result of that is inflation, which doesn't hurt them. It only hurts people on the bottom. This economist, I've been reading this book. I've mentioned The War on Small Business. She says the economic recovery is more what she calls E-shaped. So you imagine the horizontal lines that make up the capital letter E. So those on the top, big business, juiced by government and the Fed, stay on top or grow. Those in the middle probably aren't hurt or helped very much, but those on the bottom are the ones that are really getting burned by lava, right? This is what's happening. This is why the media is going crazy with inflation, because it helps government, it helps the people in power in the government, it helps the big banks, and the media is in that bed too.
And further, it helps big business. So one thing that's been left out of this entire story is these massive profits, right? Mm-hmm. You know, David and Ellie, we've been talking on this show about all these insane profits for goods and everything else. Well, guess what? Who does that benefit? So they're Chipotle raises its burrito prices, but they also post record profits. So yes, their burrito costs more, but they're also now having record profits. Do you see that? It's not like their profits are down because their prices are going up. As the Daily Poster points out, have you noticed stories in the mainstream media about expensive essential goods don't mention the record profits of these companies selling them? This is not an accident. The discourse is being rigged and manipulated by media and political voices so that the conversation serves the business interest and donors benefiting the status quo. Make no mistake. Higher prices are annoying, and for 70% of households with an annual income below 40 grand, they are causing financial hardship. I mean, look, we just talked about this story the other day about how inflation is causing hardship for 45% of U.S. households right now.
But that is not why the media wants you to panic about this, right? The media wants you to panic about this so that you are in favor of more inflationary government spending. And so you think, well, and then that $1,200 stimulus check that you cash comes at a higher cost to you. So you think, oh, good, I got $1,200. That's going to help me out for a while. It's not, because it's going to cause more inflation in an economy that you have to live in. And that $1,200 is going to be worth less and less and less. It will buy you fewer and fewer things. And it feels more and more like these stimulus are blood money. They're getting you to say, I need it. I'll cash it. Please spend it, the government. But then it hurts you. If the government really wanted to help out small business or small town America, Main Street instead of Wall Street, a stimulus for just small business would have been to the tune of $1 trillion. Done, right? But the stimulus that we had went mostly towards big business, not small business, towards universities that never lost any money because students paid in full for their tuition. So where did that money go? They took the cream off the top, gave it to big business, gave you the peanuts, and then those of us who are suffering from inflation say, please, sir, can I have some more? And when we cash it, it costs us more because the government keeps giving to their buddies. It's really pissing me off.
Yeah, I mean, just look at this. Inflation at the very top. Perhaps the most important point being overlooked by the corporate media is that inflation is being driven by the greed and power of wealthy people and corporations. As banks notched record profits, executives are finding ways to juice their salaries. There's a 20 to 30% private jet inflation right now. Why? Because by booming demand from rich people who saw their wealth soaring during the pandemic. So they have all this extra money laying around and they're needing to spend it. So, well, I know, David, you just bought a private jet, right? I mean, all this extra money you had laying around.
Yeah, but it was a cheap one. Right. But you know what? A lot of people forget, too, is like This is the Federal Reserve is a private bank. It's not even federal. The government does not own it. So there's no oversight. They're sending money wherever they want to send it. We can't get any kind of accounting of where the money goes or anything. So this is a private bank that is ruining our economy and sending money to, you know, Wall Street and their cronies, and while we get nothing.
Right. So we can fight about what we can afford, right? Like, oh, we can't afford more stimulus. Oh, the budget's going crazy. We don't fight at all about what wars we want. National defense? No, totally fine. Gets increased.
Or if a corporation needs bailed out, it's there.
It's fine. As he points out right here in the piece, there seems to be an unspoken rule among the corporate media that when it comes to fear-mongering about government spending, the deficit and the inflation, the U.S. military budget doesn't matter. And it isn't worth even discussing. In fact, intervening in overseas conflicts, killing civilians, siphoning public money to military contractors have all proven to be major contributions to inflation. The Vietnam War, for example, this is a good historical lesson, wasn't just long, bloody, and unnecessary. It was also inflationary. So it led to massive inflation. Look what happened in the late 70s, for crying out loud. Look at interest rates in the early 1980s, where interest rates were 18, 19% interest rates. So, yes, you know, runaway wars, nonstop spending by the Federal Reserve that benefits big banks and Wall Street leads to inflation. But they want to scapegoat you. They want to say that you because you want a better wage at McDonald's, it's your fault.
I just don't understand how they cannot look at this as like simple economics. If you would stimulate the middle class, everybody wins. Wall Street wins. Everybody wins if the middle class is stimulated, because the middle class spends money. And who takes the money we spend? The Wall Street, the big companies and stuff like that. So they think completely backwards. They bypass the middle class and send it directly to their cronies, thinking that that's the best way to do it.
And it does not trickle down. We know this. Right? And so I think a good takeaway from this is when you hear the media screaming at you about inflation, you must know that that's good for the media, not just for ratings, but because it's helping their buddies, right? You must know that when they say, well, see, inflation's so high, we need more social spending, we need more government help, right? But that is also good for the government. When they're telling us interest rates are low, we need it that way, that's good for the government's budget, not necessarily for yours, right? And so America is on this, like, our economy is on drugs right now, and we need these constant quick hits. We cannot allow for a sort of correctional move in the market because we haven't like built up our tolerance for it. So these are things that you then can question and realize, okay, but when I ask the government for this stimulus, I realize that it's going to cause more inflation because the government's going to keep its own rates low. It's not really doing this for me. And so any stimulus we take is going to mean that we suffer inflation and those things can purchase less. And it's not your fault for needing it. The government wants you to think it is.
No, and as we
pointed, it's not your fault that inflation results from that. And it's also not your fault that they're skimming peanuts off for stimulus and then big fat checks for tanks.
Well, as we talked about last week on the show, I mean, right, during the lockdown, all of these small businesses get crushed. All of these people get forced out of their jobs, particularly hit areas throughout the southern part of the world where they don't need to be inside, but they were told to go inside, and crushed, you know, thousands of people, millions of people dying as a result of this, these draconian lockdown measures. Who benefited? Who benefited? Big business and Wall Street benefited from these lockdowns.
Yes.
And who got crushed? Small businesses.
So the government is literally picking losers and winners. They just choose, right?
What about the CARES Act?
Well, the CARES Act, a lot of people, you know, they named this bill the CARES Act. It was going to help the people. But $5 trillion was transferred to the big corporations. 800 corporations got $5 trillion. And I don't even know what we got. We got $1,200 stimulus checks.
We were talking about last night in bed. This is literally what we were talking about last night in bed, that the Kennedy Center honors, like, you know, when this stimulus package was coming together. That's why we always say there's only one political party, right? Republicans and Democrats are one political party that only benefit Wall Street. They can pay lip service to cultural issues over here and stuff like that, but they're at the end of the day, they just are there to serve Wall Street. The Kennedy Center honors. The Kennedy Center was thrown in a whole huge stimulus.
$25 million was added by Nancy Pelosi into the CARES Act.
For what?
After Republicans drafted the first round, Nancy Pelosi took it and added a bunch of what they call pork, right? But in it was $25 million for the Kennedy Center for a national endowment for the humanities and arts. Now, I'm not saying arts aren't important, but this was the heart of the pandemic when we were really only concerned about not dying and not going broke.
Well, and who's she to just randomly pick it out of a hat?
Well, that's the thing, right? Is because the Kennedy Center was not hurting.
What about
actually.
The bakery down the street? Like, why didn't she pick that bakery down the street? She's randomly picked
200,000
right.
Small
the Kennedy
businesses.
Center specifically had received $68.3 million in federal grants between 2010 and 2019 and had assets of $557 million. Just let me finish, please. And so if the Kennedy Center really was hurting, why couldn't it have gone through the normal channels that every other business had to go to? Because the endowments were not precluded from PPP loans. You could be a nonprofit. Any business could apply for a PPP loan. Why give them direct money and not say anybody, right?
Is she on the board?
I'm actually not sure, but it would be interesting to see who. Clearly, the Kennedy Center is like a who's who of. Right. They do that big, like giving out national honors to like Tina Fey and David Letterman, right? It's a big PR move to say like, oh, we need all this money for arts and stuff, and then also directly from your tax bill. That is unconscionable.
Right. Yeah, and again, you know, these stimulus packages that went out were benefiting Wall Street, and then, of course, they become vilified. They're like, see all these stimulus that we just randomly gave out? Well, no, if you actually break it down, it didn't go to average Americans. It went to Wall Street, and now you're complaining about it. This is what led to runaway inflation. And we should also point out here that the Federal Reserve Chief Jerome Powell, I can't let him off the hook on this, so he gets renominated, he gets reelected, a week ago?
Mm.
Before he gets reelected, he's basically, he's telling all of us that inflation's transitory, it's going to be done in like 2 months. And then the moment he gets reelected, like the next day he tells us, I was wrong, he didn't even say I was wrong. He said it's going to continue well into 2022, maybe even 2023. So, come on. Literally, you're telling me you couldn't have said this a day earlier, but then you get reelected and now you feel free that you can just tell us the truth about how inflation is going to be running for the next year and a half?
Yeah.
You're full of crap. We can see right through it.
I love this comment in the chat. Joshua Wilson says, I feel so powerless. What are we going to do about it? I don't know. I feel the same way. And, when you really peel back this onion, you're like, wow, I don't know who to yell at or what to say or what to... I don't know. But I appreciate you giving voice to that. And I just want to...
Well, that's the thing. I think that's by design.
Leave the United States?
Well, yes.
You could leave the United States.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
That's easier said than done.
You are so today.
You've been speaking the whole show.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
Listen.
I'm speaking.
Listen, Kamala Harris.
I'm speaking.
You've been speaking the whole show.
You can't let me finish a sentence today. I'm going to just start kicking you under the table.
I've let you finish multiple paragraphs.
David, can you ring in on this? Be the judge.
Well, don't make him the parent.
Don't make me sit between you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I feel so powerless about it, right? So where does the powerlessness come from? It comes from feeling like you can't get a leg up, right? You can't improve your family situation. And there are a number of things that you can do to improve your own personal situation. Are we going to end this corporate greed? Probably not. But what can you do in your family to empower you and your family to protect yourselves? Starting a small business, taking action that's outside of this corrupt government banking system.
Learning to do better with the assets you have. Learning to pay down your liabilities, right? There are things you can do with your own personal finance. In fact, I will take this opportunity to tell you that we have the Financial Freedom Academy to help you do just that, to learn how to build one asset at a time inside of your family so that you're not owning government fiat currency, but things that you control. Please do visit financialfreedomacademy.com. I think it's a fantastic course. But beyond that, yes, you can sort of not fall for it too, right? Like, you can talk to your politicians and say, I don't want this or I don't want that based on your own informed opinion.
Right.
I'm Mr. Vice President. I'm done speaking.
Oh, you're done now? Okay. Yeah, you can vote with your ballot. You know, you can vote with your vote, right? And kick these people to the curb and demand change.
But we can't. That's the thing. We can't. Like every time, like how does somebody like Mitch McConnell? There's something in there that gets these people back in office. It's like they never leave, even though there's elections and everybody complains about them. I've never seen one person be like, I really love Mitch McConnell. But how does he end up back in there? Like they're like the elections don't seem to work, you know, and it's like we I think the problem is we have so many things that we're overwhelmed. And I think that's by design. I think that they know that if they keep us divided left and right, we're never going to come together like other countries. If you mess with education in other countries, like the whole country goes and protests. We are so singular issue focused that we focus on these one single thing. So we'll have 10 people go protest about this. Then we got 5 people over here protesting about this. When the thing is, we all should be focused on the roots of the problem, and that is the government itself, and we should all team together. But that's not going to happen if they keep us divided by all these issues.
Well,
look what
Lawrence Lessig did run for president on this very platform, but he just was a bit too
wonky.
It's just a bit too complicated for most people. Then most people don't take the time to educate themselves. But he did have a presidential run in 2020 to specifically end the entire lobbyist and corporate interest influence in government. So it's
Who's
not
this?
Like. Lawrence Lessig.
Yeah, Lawrence Lessig. And, you know, but it's much easier to vote for a guy who gets up there and says, you know, we're going to build a wall and Mexico is going to pay for it. Like, easy headline, you know, easy red hat with an easy headline. That's easier for Americans to digest. They just don't want to spend the time. They don't want to spend the time diving into it.
They have the money to keep it in our face all the time through advertising, where these other people, if you don't have a huge ad budget and nobody, like, I don't even know that Lessig, I never even knew he was running.
Yeah.
Read the book Republic Lost. It's a really good book about how corporate interest controls our government. And he did run for president, and his whole platform was, I'm going to destroy the lobbyists, and then I'm going to give over the job to I don't know who else. Like, he didn't really want to be president. He only wanted to disrupt this. And he has a formula for who else wants to run in order to do this. But it didn't work because Americans just don't have the attention span. I'm sorry to say that. I don't know if I should say that. Like, didn't have the attention span to understand it, or because he wasn't sexy enough, or I don't know why.
When I see people arguing for term limits, that people are arguing for, like, they as if we're going to get somebody good in these two-party systems, but all that does is makes you lazy, because it's like, let's find ways that we can still be lazy and not look into people and actually see what the content of their character, rather than, you know, what we see on advertisements or whatever. People just, they don't want to look into it. There's too much. Like, they're like, I don't want to take the time. Like, and then who is even asking the questions that we need to know these people? Like, you've got the media will softball questions to these candidates, be like, so how's your family? What's your position on this? They never really hold them accountable for anything. So it's like, we are uninformed, and it's not really our fault.
Yeah. Well, we're also victims of the book massive is media as well. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Republic Lost by Lawrence Lessig. So if you really want to make a change, you also could run under this platform. He did. He wrote the book. He believed in something. So it's possible. Change is possible, but we have to pay attention to the things that the media doesn't want us to pay attention to and do research for ourselves.
Yes,
okay.
which brings us to the media and what the media doesn't want you to pay attention to. Don't pay, you know, look over here, look away. We have a news anchor who is literally texting and has a cozy relationship with the governor's office during a sexual abuse scandal in the state of New York, as well as nursing home deaths scandal, and all of that tied together, and CNN looking the other way. Well, CNN finally this weekend fired Chris Cuomo, anchor Chris Cuomo, over sexual misconduct claims. That was apparently the final straw for CNN, according to Jeff Zucker, the head of CNN.
So when this document dump came out of the Attorney General's office about Governor Andrew Cuomo, a lot of it was very incriminating towards Chris Cuomo, who was the star on CNN. CNN had stuck with him up to this point until just the white writing was in black and white, and they could no longer deny that he had used his influence as a network anchor to advise his brother on his crisis around sexual assault claims. So CNN benched him. They just said, we're going to temporarily put him on the side. That's, you know, and we're going to see what's going on. They say, I put that in quotes, that they hired a law firm that did an investigation. We're only a week out, so that's a pretty fast investigation. But the law firm confirms that they, that Chris Cuomo, yes, did all of these things. Also, one lawyer says that there is a coming sexual assault claim against, which Cuomo are we talking? Chris Cuomo. I can never it's baby Cuomo. Right. Can we call them baby Cuomo and big brother? And so now they have definitively terminated his contract. And do we have his statement? I did put it in my folder.
Yes.
Okay. He says, this is not how I want my time at CNN to end, but I already told you why and how I helped my brother. So let me now say, as disappointing as this is, yada, yada, I love my people. I did great work. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Okay. So I've told you, I already told you, I guess I, you know, this is not like an apology or like, I know it's just like, I already told you what I did. So
this is how Italian men apologize.
So I already told you what I did. What are you making a big deal about it for? I mean, so.
I say that as
hug everybody. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
this is how we do, you know.
This is how we do it. I owe
I can
all.
Say that I'm an Italian and I know how the Italian men in my family apologize, which is like, forget about it. Hey. I already told you.
Oh, you did? Okay. So anyway, Zucker.
Unless you're Hugh Grant, forget it about we'll it. Say.
So, yeah. So Jeff Zucker, this is a question about, like, you know, his decision here. And to fire one of CNN's most watched anchors now creates a big hole in the primetime lineup, of course, right? So why, the question I want to get to is why they held on to him for as long as they did. And there is internally, even, you know, Brian Stelter did a whole piece about why they fired Jeff Zucker. I want you to listen to this because he talks about, like,
they didn't fire Jeff Zucker.
I'm sorry, why they fired Chris Cuomo. Even over these, like, cushy emails and cushy text messages that were out there. Like, we knew that these were around. We knew this relationship. This isn't new news. So this idea that this, like, sexual assault claim from his time at ABC was now the issue, come on, give me a break. But anyway, he talks about this, like, little meeting that they had and this relationship and these cozy texts. Listen to how Brian Stelter broke this news.
Producers were back at work to produce another episode of Cuomo Primetime. But there was growing criticism of the anchorman, both outside and inside CNN. By the evening, management had seen enough in the documents to take action. Cuomo was suspended, quote, indefinitely, pending further evaluation. This language made clear that Cuomo was not just being benched for a week, you know, in some sort of performative punishment. This was a real reprimand. But the language also left the door open for Cuomo to possibly return after the holidays, depending on that, quote unquote, further evaluation.
Okay, so let me just parse that a little bit there. So they're specifically talking about the documents. They're specifically talking about the document dump from the AG's office, right? That was the reason. They'd seen enough. We're now going to suspend you indefinitely. We've seen enough, and now we're going to hand it over to this law firm to make sure that what we really see here is as bad as we think it is. Like, we're going to.
But if they could have hired a law firm all along,
right,
to find these types of things, right? So they really only did it because it became public that they had not done it,
right? So now we're.
Well,
going
to and
take
how
a
does a law
this.
Firm make that decision that fast? Like, okay. Like, they would, wouldn't they have to do, like, discovery, where they got all his text messages and stuff and, like, go through them? Like, how was it that quick? They're like, oh, this one text says this. Yep, guilty. He's out.
Right. And also, when you hire a law firm, this isn't about, like, I mean, this isn't public relations now. Now, this is legal. So if there was something in those documents that you felt was damning for one of your network star, right, that's like Brian Williams lying about journalism, lying about news stories. Well, how can you have Brian Williams anchoring the nightly news, your flagship news program, if you lie about the news, right? So if Chris Cuomo is literally having relationships and telling governors how to respond to sexual assault claims and giving him consulting advice, quote unquote, to the governor's office and this cushy relationship with, and we knew about it 7 months ago, how can you have the anchor of your flagship show anchoring the news impartially? You can't.
No. And this is the kind of thing that they would easily have reprimanded somebody lower down the food chain for. But because he was so marquee, they really didn't want to have to do it. And he sort of felt like, I mean, probably when he did it, it was a reaction. Like, you know, it was a Nostra Casa. Nosa Casa. What is it?
La Casa Nostra.
La Casa Nostra. Like, he had to. He felt like he had to. That's one thing. But then it's not allowed. He should have known it. And he should have made it clear, like, I broke the rules that I don't expect, that I expect my PAs and my research assistants and my story producers to follow. But I didn't do it. He just felt like he could because he was so big, right? So I'm sure it's very shocking to him to have to face those consequences. But I do not give CNN any credit for doing the right thing only when they were forced to.
Right. We see a lot of this, though. They do the right thing after they're called to the mat to do it, right? And they're told that they need to do it.
Yeah, it's not until they're caught. Like, look at Katie Couric, like how she was caught in that Ruth Bader Ginsburg. What was it?
Oh, yes.
Bader Ginsburg, that interview where she hid a lot of what she said, you know, and it's like that's one of our people that have been a news anchor forever. Like, people love her, you know, and it's like if she's doing it, and like, how often does that happen? It probably happens all the time. And it's not until they get busted that they have to come out and talk about it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so just to put a bow on this, you know, CNN suspends Cuomo on Tuesday, the day after the documents became public, and then hired this law firm after that to investigate the matter. Again, from a legal perspective. But if there was enough in the documents that you as a boss said, whoa, we can't have this guy anchoring the news. Like, this is not what our journalists are supposed to do. This is not the level of standard, you know, your most trusted name in news.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God, they run that commercial every 5 minutes. CNN, the most trusted name in news. Okay, well, there you go. And as you know, as especially Deborah Katz, a lawyer for the former staff member at ABC who was sexually abused or allegedly, says, hearing the hypocrisy of Chris Cuomo's on-air words and disgusted by his efforts to try to discredit these women, my client retained counsel to report his serious sexual misconduct against her to CNN. It'd be interesting to know when Jeff Zucker knew about these sexual assault allegations. You know, was this something that just happened this week, or was he made aware of this over the years? Because Jeff Zucker has been a huge champion of Chris Cuomo for many, many years. He's called him the perfect news anchor.
Mm-hmm.
So if he knew that ahead of time, if he knew that there were these allegations out there when he made these big promotions.
That's interesting. We have no details about the sexual assault. Is it sexual assault or sexual harassment?
Sexual misconduct. That's
okay.
We don't have
details about that yet. It's interesting why that person would wait until he is discredited to bring that assault case. You would think that the time to do it would have been when there were other allegations against his brother. It might have made a stronger case, but maybe he feels like Chris Cuomo, baby Cuomo, has been kneecapped enough that it's safer. I'm not sure. It's just interesting to, and I don't know how much more we'll see about that.
Well, we just got this news in just now that apparently Cuomo is claiming now that Jeff Zucker knew about this involvement in the government scandal.
I'm really not interested in these two power dudes like slapping each other in the media, though. Are you?
No, I just want to know, like, at what point he knew about this. He's saying, like, you know, this is interesting. Like, Jeff Zucker now is only coming forward with this information, and he's firing him, but he's known about it for months, and he's pretending that
he did.
Right.
I mean, come on. It makes me that that Natalie rap from Saturday Night Live.
I don't know.
Slap the blank out of Jeff Zucker with Natalie Portman.
Oh.
So what you want, Natalie? That one? No? Okay, this joke is not
one.
Landing. Anyway, it's like, slap the blank out of Jeff Zucker. It's the line from the YouTube video that made YouTube because of Saturday Night Live and Natalie Portman's rap.
Do you know that whenever you have to explain a joke?
I know. This one didn't do so good. But good. So what you want, Natalie?
Keep going with it,
though.
To
drink and fight. Okay. You guys, please look it up. We can't play it for you because... it was like the video that launched copyright claims and fights and legal fights on YouTube was the Natalie Portman rap. Please, you guys.
Okay. I think I know tangentially what you're talking about, but yeah, okay.
Okay.
Good. So anyway, we'll keep our eye on this story as it develops, but I mean, certainly New York Post, Page 6 is not letting this thing go quietly, and others as they dig into the sexual assault allegations. And what did Jeff Zucker know, and when did he know it? All very, very interesting. But again, this is what the media does, right? The media fighting for profits, making sure that they are building and getting their added money to their bottom line, keeping things quiet, keeping things from their audience, pretending that they are the bastions of journalism. And that's why you're seeing this rise of independent journalism, because no one trusts these people.
Oh, I think absolutely CNN enforces their own internal rules if you've been there a year or less.
Right.
Right. Yeah. But you get some seniority. They put your name on the marquee out front, and like they're like, they don't want to. Right.
After your main guy going up against like Rachel Maddow to try to drive ratings, they're going to try to keep as much money in their pockets as possible. All right.
All right. We're going to tell you about our show sponsor over at Beanbox. And then I'm going to tell you I told you so about your personal care products.
I can't help it. I'm going to tell you about Beanbox so you can get your head in a get your head focused on what you're going to tell us in a second.
Oh, okay.
I will tell you about coffee. Okay. I'm going to tell you about coffee, as I love coffee. If you've got any coffee drinkers on your holiday shopping list, and I know you do, they would love to open a coffee sampler from Beanbox. Beanbox connects coffee lovers to some of the world's best specialty coffees with expertly curated tasting flights, perfect for gifting. So you can get a bunch of different packages of coffee to try out and see what you like. You can get even the biscotti. Oh, they have like the biscotti package that comes with some delicious biscotti. You can get some delicious chocolate with it as well, delivered right to your front door. All you need to do, I mean, the dark roast is absolutely fantastic. Are you a dark roast kind of guy, David? Or are you a light roast?
Yeah, I like dark. I actually like the taste of coffee, so.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, look at those biscottis.
Yeah.
Stop. Are you scrolling?
Yeah, I'm scrolling right there.
Look at that over there on the right side of that plate.
It's the biscotti tasting box. Yeah, delicious. A cookie tasting experience with your coffee. And you can pick any of them, right? And you can set up a subscription so that it comes on a regular basis. I recommend that because then you get these deliciously roasted beans sent right to your front door. They even have tasting boxes featuring coffees paired with biscotti chocolates for a decadent treat every foodie will love. They have award-winning coffees handpicked by Beanbox's resident coffee expert. Every Beanbox order is roasted fresh and delivered at peak flavor right to your door. So you're not getting some of those beans that have been sitting on a grocery store shelf for 4 months. No, they're roasted and sent right to your door. Beanbox's best-selling gift options are sure to please the coffee aficionado in your life. They'll even get tasting notes and brewing tips within their box to make sure that you're brewing the right cup the right way. You can get a coffee sampler gift subscription, 4 new expertly curated coffees delivered every month. Save when you get a 6-month subscription or more. Why wouldn't you? You can get a coffee world tour box, globe-trotting trip through 16 of the world's best micro-lot coffee regions. So here's what you got to do to try this right now to get 15% off your purchase of $40 or more. You want to use that promo code INVEST. All you need to do is go to beanbox.com/invest. You have to go to that URL that's on your screen, beanbox.com/invest, and get 15% off purchases of $40 or more. Give the coffee fanatic in your life an unforgettable coffee tasting experience with Beanbox. That's 15% off your purchases of $40 or more with promo code INVEST. Just go to beanbox.com/invest. I love our sponsors because, I mean, they know how much we love coffee here on our show, and you guys will love this. Check them out at beanbox.com/invest.
I just bookmarked the chocolate one for after the show. I'm buying that.
There we go.
This is a good one.
Or send a link to your whoever who wants to buy you.
Yeah, like if you're looking for something, here's the link. Order me this. Order me this.
I love these box subscriptions. Okay, well, Procter & Gamble is saying that they are voluntarily recalling aerosol and spray-on deodorants, and I believe roll-on as well.
Oh, wait, they still make aerosol deodorants?
They do.
Wow.
Well, they're recalling them, so I assume they do. For antiperspirants and deodorants. Now, this is after a citizen petition asked the FDA to take these products off the market when it became clear that they contain benzene, which is a known carcinogenic. So after about 108 batches of these products were tested, 54% of them were found to contain levels of benzene exceeding 2 parts per million. Now, obviously, benzene is not something you want on you at all, but I guess the company line was that there was an acceptable level. And now after this citizen petition, citizen being the operative word here, right? People are coming and to the government and saying, please stop allowing these things that hurt people. Now, not why is that a carcinogen? Because the chemicals in these types of products act as an endocrine disruptor. That means they mimic the natural flow of your own hormones is the word I'm looking for. And when your body thinks you have maybe more estrogen or testosterone or other types of hormones, your body will react to that and it creates inflammation. It creates problems because you're throwing off the natural hormonal balance of your own body, right? There are a lot of things in these, what we call them, grocery store shelf cosmetics, right, that are harmful. And it's terrible that it's up to citizens to point this out to the government, because the government has no motivation to do this themselves. And if you're wondering why, rewind the tape on this very program 20 minutes before.
Yeah, where we talk about money, 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 money. I mean, again, I can't get over just going through this data, how in the hell that out of 108 batches of these products, 59 of them, which is 54% of them, had levels of benzene, which is exceeding the permitted.
They all had it, right? This is about the levels of it.
But that's my point. And I, like, they're saying, oh, this is acceptable. Like, who's to say that a level of benzene on your skin is acceptable?
Well, if it's a carcinogenic.
Right.
And it's also a neurotoxin. So who's to say that a level of neurotoxins and carcinogens are good and okay?
Like, David, just
is
for
you. Is this benzene with the I or with an E?
E.
With an E. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you can just have a little bit of toxins on your body. Like, you know, just rub this on, because big business has said it's okay. Just rub this under your armpit, right at your lymph node area, by the way. You know, I mean, you know, again, we had a, who knows what stuff is, you know, connected or not, but by God, you think about breast cancer. You think about the surge in breast cancer. And so you're literally putting this toxic chemical right on the lymph nodes that, with like directly next to the mammary glands. Like, is there a connection? Is there a connection? And do we know that? I mean, maybe not. Maybe there is. There's been enough data, though, to suggest that, hey, getting rid of these toxins from your body can lower your overall risk of cancer, right? And inflammation of the body. So who's to say? But I mean, we don't have a definitive answer. And if you let the FDA come up with an answer, I guess we'll never figure it out.
Well, it's not for us to tell you what products will harm you, but it is for us to tell you that the government is not doing anything to remove products that it knows are harmful. So I go all the way to the crazy place and just throw all this stuff out of our house completely, and I don't allow it in. You do whatever you think is acceptable. But if you're of the line of thought that, well, it's on the market, it probably is okay, you're wrong. That's wrong, right? And so I live by a couple of rules. Like, I don't allow my family to use deodorant at all. I think that deodorant solves the problem it creates. I've never used deodorant, and I smell fine. Do you want to tell them? Tell them I smell fine.
Like roses.
Yes. So, but there are people who are like too far down the rabbit hole. When they stop using deodorant, all of those toxins that have built up, those like crystals, come out and you smell worse for about 6 weeks or so. So there are things you can do. I'm not here to tell you that, but I do think that you should read, maybe a little bit, read the labels. Look for these types of chemicals. Look for anything that has, like, say, parfum or parabens, or, you know, there's a whole list of harmful chemicals. And also just think about, like, what you're starting when you use these products.
Faith Scott says, I need deodorant. In our chat, Faith Scott says, I need deodorant. But the thing is, no, you don't. Where, I mean, look, for thousands of years, human beings did not use deodorant. They took baths, you know, occasionally.
Yeah.
Right?
Look, there are other things you can do.
This
there
is a modern
salt
invention.
Crystals that you can do to exfoliate in that area, so you get some of those backed up smells out. You can use,
your dogs
you do
will
your
clean
own
them for
research.
You.
Your dogs will clean them for you.
Right? I suppose.
No, but I mean,
that's
here's
gross.
What I just don't get. Let's go back to the FDA for a second. You know, the FDA says that, okay, because benzene is a class one solvent, it has with unacceptable toxicity, it shouldn't be used to manufacture health products. That's what they said back in 2018. But then the pandemic came along, and the agency, according to this piece, temporarily eased its restrictions on the benzene chemical, establishing the 2 parts per million limit for liquid hand sanitizers. So, okay, we know it's toxic, But because of the pandemic, we're just going to limit, we're going to allow you now to start using this toxic chemical in your hand sanitizer, the same thing that's in your deodorant, which we know is a known carcinogen.
So, and it's quite poison.
Yes, it's poisonous. It's a toxin. You can rub it on your armpits and your hands now because this is what the FDA does. This is amazing.
I'm telling you.
I know you've been telling us.
I know. I want to like not be that pedantic person, and I am just going to hold myself back.
Well, that's why I kind of did an eye flick when you said it's not our job to tell you harmful chemicals that are harming you. That's what you said. It's our job to tell you how the FDA is responding. Like, it is our job. Like, we've done the research on it. We know that these things, according to these studies, are toxic. That is our job.
Because, okay.
Because the mainstream media is not telling you.
Well, otherwise. It's our job to tell you these chemicals are known carcinogens. Look for products without them. It's not my job to tell you, like, then delete everything else, right? It's our job to say you need to educate yourself on what's on your in your personal care products and know that you are actively not being protected, that the companies that make these products are being protected and you are not.
Yes, you are getting screwed, and we should be specific on the types of, which ones were on this list, by the way, the highest ones, the highest toxicity levels. If you have these brands on your bathroom right now, you probably want to throw them out unless you want these toxins. Tag, Shure, Equate, Suave, Right Guard, Brute, Summer's Eve, Right Guard. Why they put that in here twice?
They really don't use it.
They typed it twice. So look at that. They typed it twice. They really don't want you to use Right Guard. Maybe they meant Left Guard. Power Stick, Soft and Dry, and Victoria's Secret. And if you've purchased any of the Old Spice or Secret products included in Procter & Gamble's recall, stop using them, throw them out, or contact their customer care department at this number. This is Procter & Gamble's customer care department. You can be reimbursed for these eligible products. Stop using this crap, guys. Stop using this.
Yeah. If it's in the drugstore, you probably don't want it.
Yeah.
Know what crap you put in and on your body.
I mean, your skin is your biggest organ in your body. So would you take your pancreas out and be like, here's some carcinogenic, and then put it right back? You know, it's crazy.
It might be some people's biggest organ.
Right. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, exactly. Speak for yourself.
Thanks, Blue Chew.
All right, shall we tell you what's trending before we get out of here?
Yeah, let's talk about what's trending on the internet today. These are things that Natalie has scoured the internet for. She loves being a scourer of the internet. The other night we were sitting there reading with our son near the fireplace, and my son said, Daddy, what does scouring mean? And I said, you know, like when your mommy looks through the internet to find these crazy stories that are trending, she scours the internet to try to find them.
Yes. I'm a lurker.
I said, or when Daddy does the dishes, I scoured the pots and pans with the steel wool.
Okay.
I scour them.
Yeah. Mostly I'm a social media lurker. Like, I'll type out a response to some of these things to hop on these trends. And then I'm like, I don't want to say that. So I keep my responses to myself. And then I see what you have to say in the chat room. Reclaim America is trending because a white nationalist group chanted the phrase Reclaim America during a march at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. on Saturday. The group is called Patriot Front, and they say they espouse racism. Like, they like these things, right? This is what they're for.
this is on their platform.
This is their
they like fake Captain America shields too.
Their company
and don't
policy.
You think, look at those guys and tell me those aren't feds.
Is that what you think? No.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah, he's the son of a QAnon supporter, so of course.
Well, they did all get really nice matching outfits.
They all have khaki pants.
They have
the sunglasses,
same kit.
The famous Fed sunglasses. Those are Feds.
Okay, so here's what they say they are for. They are for these things. This is on the crest: racism, anti-Semitism, and intolerance, under the guise of preserving the ethnic and cultural origins of their European ancestors. I point out to them that the United States was not originally European, and if they want to go back to Europe to their European ancestors, they also can apply for residency. But that's what they think, that it should be handed. It's funny to use Europe, like, we're the United States, but we need to be European descendants. Like, why don't you go to Europe if you're so proud of that? Like,
right. If you're really proud of that, then you have an opportunity, you know, to get out and or go back to your heritage land. You know,
it's a strange
because
statement.
I've got news for you. Like the United States of America as a country, there were a lot of people that lived here before it was a country, and it had nothing to do with Europe.
No,
I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't know. Their history is a little skewed. As are their fashion choices.
But I love that
like,
they wear
half
of a stormtrooper.
Like, why do they need knee pads?
No, it's half of a stormtrooper outfit.
Oh.
Those are catchers. Baseball catcher.
I guess.
Aren't they?
Yeah, I guess.
Chin guards.
Okay. All right.
But it's like every time, like January 6th, and then the counter protest after January 6th. I mean, how many times have feds been busted being at the head of all that stuff? Every time.
Interesting. They got in some verbal fights with people around who were yelling at them, but there was no violence. So that's good.
All right.
Bitcoin is trending because the cryptocurrency prices took a tumble on Wall Street over the weekend. Do you have anything to say about that?
Not on Wall Street because...
I'm sorry. It's not on Wall Street.
Yes.
Right.
It's in the world. It dropped down to 42,000 before bouncing back a little bit to 47,000, 48,000.
So, this is a screenshot of its market value just before showtime. So it's pulling itself back out of its trench.
And, you know, look, hey, buying the dip, you know, I think we're going to see some more pain before we see a run towards 100,000. Maybe we won't hit the 100,000 by the end of the year, but this is like, you know, you're getting some people selling risky assets right now as they got scared about, they're getting scared about what the Fed is doing. They're getting scared about potential war with Russia, I guess. So. Yeah, 41,000. Was it 40? I thought it hit 42.
I can't see the bottom of that chart. Anyhow, Aung San Suu Kyi is trending after a court in Myanmar sentenced her to 4 years in prison. Myanmar, I remind you, is still being ruled by military forces after a government coup in February. This is just her first sentencing. She faces other charges and could face up to 100 years in prison. World leaders are speaking out about this and there are protests raging. Because the world stage doesn't recognize this court as an actual government. They don't think she got a fair trial. She has already served 15 years on house arrest because she is an advocate of democracy in her country. So people obviously are very concerned about her future, and there's not much that the world stage is doing to protect her. It's a scary story. So... that's all I have to say about it. And finally, Charlie Cox is trending after Marvel president Kevin Feige.
Feige. Yeah, it's Feige, right?
Kevin F. confirmed that Charlie Cox will play Daredevil in any new projects. He already has been playing Daredevil.
He's so good.
Online are really happy about this. Now, I don't watch Daredevil, but I do think he's a handsome bloke. And whenever I walk in the room,
Stardust?
And no, but when I walk in the room and Clayton or Miles are watching this, I do a double take. I enjoy him, so I'm for this.
Yep.
I mean, that's a handsome guy. Come on.
Yeah,
you
should go watch Stardust. You'll like that. That's
he's
that's
in that
where
too?
I know him from. Yeah, he
is it
him and Michelle
like
Pfeiffer.
A romantic comedy or something?
It's a fantasy comedy, I would say, but yeah, it's good. Okay. It's old, but it's good.
He's excellent as a Daredevil. Yeah.
Yeah. So very good.
And there's questions about, is he going to be in Spider-Man Far From Home, or No Way? What is it? The new one? Like, never going to get home. Can't get home. I was gone.
Home Alone.
Far From Home.
Far From Home. Whatever the new one is.
It's No Way Home.
No Way Home. There we go.
Yeah.
Thank you, Natalie.
Because, you know, in New York. And then also whether or not we would see him in the Hawkeye show, because I haven't I don't know yet. So don't tell me if he is. But, he, you know, they're in New York City and Hawkeye is dealing with a lot of craziness in New York City. Would they pop down to Hell's Kitchen and would Daredevil pop up in the show? So
our daughter calls it Hot Guy.
Hot Guy.
I want to watch Hot Guy.
She's five. She doesn't. The K doesn't come out.
She doesn't actually. She's like, think Jeremy.
Yeah, she doesn't know. But
Renner.
I want to watch Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Would you like to read us some super chats before we go?
I would indeed. Let me go
And while you're doing that, I should mention that we have a daily newsletter. It comes out every day, first thing in the morning, right around 6:30 in the morning, to your email inbox. If you sign up, it's totally free. We put a lot of hard work into it. You can be totally informed about five or six news stories for the day that we cover, as well as things you might have missed. We look at the markets, and you can read it in like 5 to 10 minutes over your cup of coffee or tea or water, whatever, and you'll be ready to kickstart your day. Plus, we usually have a preview of what's coming up on the show here live. Now, I know that James Figueroa said he didn't get his newsletter today. He's checked his spam folder and everything. Were you able to find it, James? I hope you're, if you're still in the chat, let us know.
We have a super chat. And it is from Evening Sky Woodlands Wiki, or Wild. I always say Wiki because my glasses make it look like a... Anyway, she says, not a bad thing, but Clayton looks like he took care of kids on his own all weekend.
They broke you.
They
broke you down.
They did.
He acts like it's so easy when I get home because, you know, he's filling in for some stuff that I normally do. And
like,
he's like,
I got this. Everything's
oh,
fine.
Totally fine. Totally fine. And then my daughter's like, yeah, we did this thing when we had to play outside because we were being annoying in the car and daddy made us go outside. And I was like, oh, really? Daddy lost his temper. I want to hear more about this.
My 9-year-old girl, Ava, she said, daddy, what did daddy was driven? Daddy, she said, daddy was driven to madness.
I'm so happy when they don't make it easy on him because that way it's job security, man.
Oh, man.
Me.
I was like, it was like driving and I'm like, stop it. Stop it back there. What are you guys doing? One of them was hitting the one in the head with a water bottle. I'm like, oh, my God.
It's like Mr. Mom 2.0.
Yeah.
That movie holds up. That is one of my favorite movies of all time. And especially when you become a mom and you realize the sort of second shift, it's wonderful. So
have you
thank
ever
you
seen
for
Michael
pointing that out.
Have you ever seen Michael Keaton do stand-up comedy?
No.
No,
because he's basically that character in real life. Like, as a stand-up, he's like that character. He was hilarious. I never knew he did stand-up, and I just stumbled on it on YouTube one day, and I was like, holy cow, he's hilarious.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'd love to see it.
We sometimes use the line when we're, like, being bratty towards each other, and there's a line from there where he comes in the bedroom and she's like snipping at him and he's like, all right, let's get into it, like, let's just have a fight.
that's
brewing anyway. And whenever Clayton does that, I just laugh because I'm like, no, I want to be mad.
But
well, and I always do that first, like, anybody asks me something about building everything, I'm like, I'm gonna make it 220 221,
whatever it takes.
Oh,
thank you for pointing that out. Yes, and Clayton did a great job. The kids, they were a little smelly. They didn't get bathed, but...
I didn't know they had to take baths all weekend. That's right.
Looks like you still haven't.
But they were safe.
Yeah. No, I'm freshly showered.
Not according to chat. Everybody in chat thought you looked like you just rolled out of bed this morning.
Yeah.
It's because... So he had combed his hair like Dracula this morning. It was wet and pulled over like that. And I was like, oh, no. You got to dry your hair. You can't look like Dracula. It just was too wet. It looked like, I want to suck your blood. And so I made him dry it. I really like his hair like this, natural looking.
She likes like the natural.
Someone said it looks like Clark Kent. That's exactly what I was going for. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I see that. You need glasses.
I feel like sometimes when I do like this type of like no combed up, you know, like I feel like it's the Jerry Seinfeld low flow shower head episode. Where they're like, he and Kramer, like all of their hair matted down. And like, I have no pressure. And they go and they get the elephant level shower head.
It's just, you know, I washed my hair today too, and it's like it moves, it doesn't stay. There's not a lot of product in it. So like sometimes you'll cut back to me and I'm like this, and sometimes you cut back to me and I'm like this. It moves a lot, but I don't want to put a lot of product in it. So you're just gonna have to, you know,
it looks great,
real hair. But yeah, it's not what the news anchors should wear. Like when I was really on the news, I was like Loretta Lynn. Like that, you know, but that does just put so much crap. So we both look a little, it's just,
is it possible
this is more natural, sorry.
Is it possible to still kind of like tease your hair to make it do that without product?
You can, but it's not going to stay in a uniform shell like that. Like in Steel Magnolias where they say hair helmet.
Yeah.
So like...
So a lot of people saying Michael Keaton started out as a stand-up comic. Richard Blackstone says started out as a stand-up comic. Becky Medved says, my hubby did stand-up when I first met him. He sucked. I did stand-up comedy. That was my first thing that I wanted to do, actually. I did.
You said you were going to look and see if you could find those old tapes, because we would all love to see them.
When I won New York City's Funniest Reporter competition.
Yeah. 2012.
I used to do stand-up. I loved it. That's what I thought I was going to do. Then you realize you got to travel 350 days of the year, and you're just like living out of a hotel room up till 2 a.m. every night or in the smoky bar.
Yeah, and Clayton almost, he got pneumonia after it. He was so stressed out. Like, he really took it seriously. He was just like, oh my God, I really want to do this well, and he hadn't done it in so long.
I hadn't done stand-up in like 10 years.
I've never seen him so nervous.
When they invited me to do stand-up again to this competition, I was like, yes. And then I won.
All right, be honest, Natalie, was he any good?
He was good. Yeah, he was. Well,
do you have any video?
I don't know. Probably somebody does.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't have any.
Are you on YouTube?
No, it's not on YouTube because it was like a private thing. You know, like
you had to buy tickets.
It was a private function to do it. It was a charity event, but I beat 11 other people. Yeah, anyway.
That's awesome. That's something I've always like thought I would like to do, but I cannot talk in front of people. Like I've done... Well, it's different when I'm behind a camera. Like if I'm, and it's different if I have a guitar. Like when I've performed in front of like 4,000 or 5,000 people and been totally fine. But you take the guitar away, and I just like my brain just shuts off.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't find it. I was looking for some photos. Anyway, any other super chats before we get out of here?
Nope, that's it.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, thank you guys for subscribing. Really appreciate it. Don't forget, check out the Clayton Morris YouTube channel because I've got videos over there about investing, cryptocurrency, the best countries in the world to invest in cryptocurrency, and crypto news daily. So check that out. YouTube.com/Clayton Morris is the YouTube
and
channel. Come on over there.
The branding of his crypto news daily is like 80s theme. So those of you that like 80s music, 80s vibe, it's really cool. It looks awesome.
Yeah, I love like 80s synth music and just that whole vibe. So that's what the whole channel looks like if you come on over here. Crypto News Daily is like one of the main shows I do. So check it out. We did a story about what are NFTs. If you're wondering like what NFTs are and are they a good investment, understanding that is pretty important. We did a deep dive on that. Some new Web 3.0 NFT projects. So check out that. It's really... really informative, and what's cool is we get to do a lot of research here. So the team, like, we were spending a lot of time deep diving these subjects, so you don't have to. So we spend the time going through all of this stuff to help you out. So come on over and subscribe.
Anyway. Good job, Grim, on the graphics.
Yeah, Grim did all the graphics. He's in our chat right now. Awesome job, love it. All right, man. And where can people find you, my friend?
I am over at. I almost said Morning Invest. I am over at youtube.com/overlandgeeks, and I do overlanding and minimalism and mobile live streaming and video content and stuff like that, mobile content. So
awesome.
Come on over
someone
and say
asking,
hello.
Thank you for that. And someone was asking while you were gone on Friday, is there any place that Natalie has like a YouTube channel or like a blog that writes about like eliminating like this, like plastics and toxins from our life and anything?
You're
like
on it. This
like,
is it.
This is it. This is the show. This is where she'll continue to do that. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think she's... I was like trying to talk you into doing like a YouTube channel on that subject, but...
I don't know. I feel like I've already told you what I do. Grow my own food and get rid of all products in the house.
Yeah.
That's... And then wear my hair looking slack like this. Someone in the chat's like, cut it. I could
you should
do
have,
that.
You should have your own like personal section of the newsletter where you do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Share those tips because people like that stuff.
Natalie's
I like that
corner.
Stuff.
I appreciate that.
All right,
Natalie's
everyone.
Nook. We already talked about that.
Natalie's nook. Natalie's nook and cranny.
All right. Goodbye.
All right. Bye, everyone.